Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad, all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I am, no matter how hard I try, not Adam Russell still, but I am Nick Gambarian.
And I am also still, because I think I tried this already tonight, Ryan Key.
And I am your very, very, very poor operator of the internet. This is Mike Forster. I will say this, Nick, you are doing a wonderful job reading.
Thank you. Ryan, you
look great as always. I'm supposed to be on the command station tonight, and I forgot to hit live. And so here we are. What you don't know is that we actually just had the same exact conversation 4 minutes ago.
It's a little different already.
Mm-hmm,
but, yeah. You know, we're obviously here for the Bad Batch this week, right?
Right.
There were other things, though, in the last 24 hours, Star Wars stuff, you know.
Yeah, we got to start.
Me, Adam, and Mike did our Acolyte trailer review yesterday, but I'm dying to know what Ryan thinks.
I haven't listened to the trailer review that you guys did because I have a three-month-old.
Right.
Is it what you were expecting? Like, had you thought all along, you know, this is like going to be full-blown High Republic era live action? Just is that what you've always thought it was going to be? Because I don't think I really knew what I was expecting.
I saw a little bit of footage at Celebration, which is kind of crazy.
Not.
Yeah, you weren't there. I was with my friend Phil from HE Creative.
This is like I'm like the trailer packed for The Force Awakens, you know, which is in essence the root cause of this podcast.
Yeah, right.
I knew nothing going in. Mm-hmm. It was completely cold. I knew it wasn't animated. I was just, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what I was expecting, but I think that, you know, we've had, and I think Ahsoka did really well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like it was like the most streamed premiere and all that, right? But I think Ahsoka still dealt with a lot of like the stupid toxic fan base warring back and forth on whether it's good or not.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I only say that because I feel like Andor was a little less subject to that, the toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unique and interesting in the same way that Rogue One was, because there's no lightsabers in those films and series, right? And so what is it about them that made them so well received? You know, I'm just trying to say that my reaction to the trailer overall is, wow, they're making up for the lack of lightsabers. You know,
extra lightsabers.
Yes. I am so excited. I think it seems to me that the vibe they're throwing off here is like, this is when the Jedi were legitimately like a force for good. Like all the things that we've learned about the hubris of the Jedi and allowing all these bad things to happen. This is a time where it was pure. Yeah. It seems that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's the vibe. It's the first time outside of the Skywalker saga, the High Republic I'm talking about, where you have all these familiar words and planets and the universe is built and all the characters are different. So mm-hmm. it's like super refreshing and awesome.
Leslie Headland's her last, I think her big thing that probably got her the job in addition to probably making a killer pitch, what she described, as Frozen meets Kill Bill.
Yeah.
So... Let it flow. I'm assuming blood, lots of blood. But Russian Doll was the last series that she did for Netflix. And it's kind of like this, the character is Nadia. She's on this like loop and she keeps attending the same party. So there's like this like mental kind of visceral, mystery to what's happening to her. And it's honestly like Acolyte is basically a crime drama, set in the final days of the High Republic. And so I think everything about this trailer was like, I was like, yep, this checks out. A couple of people, of course, claiming that Mundy says, we haven't seen a Sith in 1,000 years. But what I think people keep forgetting is that like, you don't need to be a Sith to be a dark side welder. We've seen this so many times, right? Where someone can be on the bad side. And I think what Leslie's interesting concept for the show is that she's like, you're going to see good guy perspective and bad guy perspective at the same time, which I'm like, as a fan of The Wire, I'm like, I'm here for it. I want to see it happening at the same time. I want to see the guy walking from the back of the temple and I want to see the good guy coming from the front of the temple and I want to see him meet right in the middle. So I'm super excited for this. We were speculating, was that Octo, Ryan? What did you think?
Oh, yeah.
Like it looked like Octo.
Yeah, it definitely did.
And then you have your like classic, whatever that opening that we've seen so many times in Star Wars, that Ralph McQuarrie kind of bridge obelisk or whatever is right in the beginning. I'm like, this is Star Wars, baby. This is going to be awesome. And we see a time jump. We've already figured that out. So it's going to be amazing. And the most watched trailer of all time.
Yeah, that news just broke at the time of this recording about 15 minutes ago. The Acolyte trailer breaks Lucasfilm's record with 51.3 million views in 24 hours.
Lightsabers, baby.
Yeah, lightsabers do it.
Yeah. And Andor had no lightsabers and people were so excited about it, they didn't watch it. So that's fantastic, right?
We do want to get to Bad Batch and stuff, but there's a really good Hollywood Reporter article interview with the creator, Leslie, and she did say the series is serialized. So that's like, we're not going to tune in at 9 p.m. one night and get an adventure of the week. It's a serialized, like every episode leads to the next episode, which is great.
Love that.
And one other little bit of tidbit, if we're speculating that that is Octo in the trailer. In the Hollywood Reporter article, she said that she had worked with Rian Johnson a bunch and loved like a lot of stuff about him. So it would be really cool if while she was creating this, being on Octo was like a nod to Rian Johnson. So that's that makes sweet. Me think that we're on to something there.
Yeah, I dig that. Shout out to S13 Danny for saying you guys are doing good, fantastic. So despite the fact that I forgot to hit live, Danny, we appreciate you tuning in and giving us a little super chat there. I made sure to hit the right button this time. I've got other
great
buttons
job,
I can
dude.
Hit.
Great
thank
job.
You so
great
much.
Job,
thank you so much. Should we get into it? Should we do
the Bad Batch?
Should I hit the button?
Do it.
All right, Nick, you're up.
What have you done with those plans?
Season 3, episode 8 of The Bad Batch was called Bad Territory. It debuted today, March 20th, 2024 on Disney Plus. And the Disney Plus description says, desperate for intel, Hunter and Wrecker track down a dangerous bounty hunter. The runtime was 27 minutes, directed by the veterans Nate Villanueva, written by Matt Michnovich, story editor Matt Michnovich, and starring Wanda Sykes as Fee, Ming-Na Wen as Fennec Shand, and Jonathan Lipow as Siler Saris and the Client. Any first reactions to the episode?
I loved the call it set design of, what was the name of the, do you know the name of the planet that they were on looking for?
I don't think that was mentioned.
Bounty Hunter.
If it is, do you know?
Like
is the info
I felt
out there?
Like I was...
Space Louisiana.
I felt like I was in an episode of Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown. You know what I mean? Like that, like they were going to pull off to the side and get some kind of like like shellfish that they have to eat yeah. heads off of, you know?
I mean, did the whatever his name was not look like a crawfish, kind of?
Yeah. Oh, and nice. Kind of like also like a cricket,
yeah,
a bug. Yeah, it was all Mike. You got it. The planet was just Louisiana,
right? The first thing I thought of was I was like, son of a gun, Cut Laquane is about to be on the bingo card. Nick's gonna win, and I was like, this could be some, you know, we could go down to Bon Ton.
Yeah,
and we could see you know, add a little Old Bay is a East Coast thing, but yeah. Yeah, certainly. Like I was like, oh, this is like Everglades, Louisiana. I don't know. So regardless, they got crocodiles in space, and mm-hmm. We figured out that they're just as vicious here on wherever planet they are.
I'm a big fan of us staying on course for no monsters of the week.
Mm.
You know, all of this plays into the bigger story arc here of finding out of them finding out what M counts are and us finding out what Omega's real, you know, what's really going on there. And yeah, like these types of, like, there isn't any huge bombshell reveal when they're staying on course with this storyline. I'm really in, and I really enjoyed the episode. It's when it's, you know, as there were so many Clone Wars episodes and early Bad Batch episodes where they're just like off fighting some giant worm monster lizard thing that's like, okay, well, I want to know what's going on with your story, you know? And so I think I can already confirm this is going to be by far my favorite season of the Bad Batch, because I think the story of these clones is so compelling and so amazing that
right.
I always wondered, why did we even do, I mean, I know why, because we need, you know, 10-year-olds to be stoked on the Bad Batch, but it's also like, I just wonder why we've ever strayed from this kind of story arc where you're just following exactly the story, you know, the path they're on. But yeah, I love the like swampy bayou, you know, Dagobah meets Louisiana. I love the lighting in that, in all those scenes, like the weird kind of orangey red.
Yeah, haze, the kind of hazy
lighting. Yeah. That was mm-hmm. super cool.
Yep.
Yeah, the rest of it is I love you, I know, the other part. So I'm going to save that for the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Any thoughts, Mike?
I agree with Ryan on this one. Like this, when I watched I think Star Wars had put out a little clip, and it was, you know, it's very like, oh, here come the monsters, and they were on a boat, and I was like, oh man, this is going to be a straight up Monster of the Week episode. But they did it very well in kind of established that there was a purpose. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the first, when they're talking about M counts, I was like, oh my gosh, Omega is going to meet Boba Fett. Like, I don't know why yeah. I thought that so hard, but I was like, whoa, because I know that Fennec Shand knows Boba. But then I thought about it, and I believe if we remember from the time that Fennec meets Boba, she almost treats him like she's never met him, but he's infamous. And so it makes me think that maybe they've never met before.
Yeah. Watching this at midnight, I mean, I had that same exact thought. Boba Fett was the first person that popped into my mind.
Yeah.
But watching it at midnight, and I was at Disneyland for 11 hours yesterday. I was tired. I was very, very tired.
Nice.
And I was just like, it doesn't even make sense that it would be Boba Fett, you know? And I was like, I'll think about this tomorrow.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So I thought it was awesome. I mean, we'll get into it a little bit, but man, I mean, you're talking about, you know, we're watching, like, there felt like there were so many throwbacks. I thought, like, the whatever the ring planet, like Nick and I had talked a little bit about, is it possibly a little throwback to Starlight Beacon? Kind of had like that upside down, you know, almost like it looked like a sand going through an hourglass.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of felt like the ring of Kathrine from Rogue One. The opening scene of Cassian walking through that downtown in that big hallway, I was like, man, this feels very throwbacky. And then, of course, obviously, we'll get to I Love You, I moment, because I'm with Ryan on that. But this was a surprise for me as an episode, because I thought so hard it was going to be Monster of the Week. But after this was over, I was like, this might have been like one of my favorites so far. I don't know why.
That bingo card box is getting checked. There's not going to be...
there's no time left. There's no time left for it.
Off the path. We're getting into the final act here. It's going to get intense from here out.
So a little overview. There's a main plot with Hunter and Wrecker and a subplot with Crosshair and Omega. Hunter and Wrecker are on a mission to get information about bounty hunters hunting targets with high M counts. Fee kind of hurt me a little bit with a quote. Tech's brain was the data bank, not mine. So kind of bringing up Tech
R.I.P.
in general is just like, oh. Can we just not mention his name?
We have to.
Have we heard the term class one bounty hunters yet? Is that the first? I don't remember hearing that anywhere.
Stood out to me. I don't think I've ever noticed that anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know if that could be in a comic or a novel or something, but I haven't really. It doesn't register to me as an on-screen moment anywhere else. Nothing, Mike?
I would be interested to know. I think we have War of the Bounty Hunters. There's a comic series that was, I think it's wrapped up. We have Jango Fett comic book drop today. I don't know. I've never heard it outside of that, but I think certainly, I don't know if that's kind of like a classification for saying that everybody that showed up on Vader's Star Destroyer was probably a class one bounty hunter. And where that, I'm assuming that
it's kind of like, it's like counterintuitive, right? To like being a bounty hunter that you have to like have a rank, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're going against the system, but there's a system.
Yeah, you're good at being like bad.
What you're allowed to do and not do. I don't understand.
Yeah, because I can imagine if you're, you know, because you're thinking about like when Greef Karga, you know, sets off the beacon and everyone knows that Din is in the, you know, all of a sudden Din is the subject of everyone when he's trying to escape Navarro for the first time. You know, it's almost like if certain jobs know that, you're not going to waste someone's time. And I can also imagine if you're a client and you go, damn, there's a massive bounty on someone. I'm not going to spend money paying for some crappy bounty hunter to go to waste time. I want like, give me the big guns, man. I want Forlom. Give me Forlom.
But it's like, where do you apply to be a class one bounty hunter? You know,
you probably just fetch a lot.
There's a guild, right?
Yeah. There's a guild.
We learned that in Mandalorian.
Yeah. So I like that. Ooh. I like that.
I know you need to keep going, Nick. I loved just hearing the client starting to feel it all come together, you know, the big picture that Filoni has had all along for all these stories. Yeah. You're starting to hear these key words come in and you're like, whoa, dude, I have chills right now. All these stories are finally starting to converge and in a major, major way, you know, and I just, man, it's so, so rad. I like
Star Wars.
Haters gonna hate, but we are going to be so pumped on this when it ends.
So continuing, Hunter and Wrecker go talk to Fennec Shand, who initially tells them to leave. And the reason being that they ruined her score in a previous episode when the Bad Batch thwarted her effort to capture Omega. So eventually she's open to the idea of working with them. She asks them to help her on a bounty hunting mission in exchange for information on... They're literally just kind of trying to figure out what M count even means, right? Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's like they keep talking about how they've heard it. Everyone's heard it said, but no one knows what it means.
Yeah, is there no space internet? They can't just look it up? That's kind of strange.
The Empire's like, we have given you everything you need to know. Trust us.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, even if there is, they've deleted. Scrubbed it. They've scrubbed it from the internet.
Yeah.
From the archives.
So that's all the main plot. The subplot here back on Pabu is Omega trying to help Crosshair with his shaking hand. So we do get to, you know, we kind of have these moments in this episode where you think you're about to find something out and you don't really. So AZ is checking out Crosshair, who says there's nothing physically wrong. So it could be physiological, neurological, kind of like what we were saying. Could be the yips, just a mental sort of thing. Later on in the episode with this subplot, this is another callback, Omega tries to teach him meditation, which she learned from Gungi on Kashyyyk in the last season, I want to say, which was a very, very cool callback. It seems like the confirmation of our interpretation of the hand situation a couple episodes ago. So implying that it is perhaps mental. So what do you guys think about that? Are you leaning more in that direction at this point?
I've always sort of agreed with the theory or concept of it being a PTSD related thing.
Sure.
And I think, you know, it's like classic hero Star Wars writing. When it matters, when it really matters in the end of the final moments of this story, he's going to hit that shot, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I think that Oh, I mean, should I say it? I mean, oh my God, there's just the sunset and them sitting on the rock. And I know you probably know what I'm going to say, but like that. All right, whatever. Maybe. Yeah, right. Okay. The point is that the same person that we last saw sitting on that had also understood that like confronting your past, not fighting anymore, is what led him to be free, right? To put all those things behind and move forward with whatever the force wants him to do next time, right? So I love that Omega Hunter like gives her this task, like you got to get him to talk and figure out that hand, right? And she is the one, despite being older, little brother, she's the one that's like training him to understand himself, right? It's a beautiful little moment. And for her to, and you saw, I think that when we confirm that it's more mental, you saw how quickly when AZ's like, we could find out more. I think it's AZ or if it's Omega that says like, you could tell us more about what they tortured you or whatever happened to you. And he's like,
yeah, the experiment.
Yeah. He's like
holding.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, get off me. Mm-hmm. So you know that it's the part that's going to open up. What could be interesting is that could lead into where the CX agents come from. And if it just didn't take to him and all the other clones that were still there that were not M count viable, that they were turning him into CX. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but certainly for Crosshair, there is something much deeper going on here. And if this is his first step into forgiving himself, acknowledging that it's a show for kids, guys.
I was just going to say that exact same thing. Literally, I was waiting for you to stop talking. But cartoons are for kids. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Hey, kids, it's not that kind of cartoon for kids.
I'm leaning mental block too, but I do think there's something to what you were just talking about, Mike, where mm-hmm. I think the experiments leave the door open where it's not a mental block and the experiments did do something to him. Because also, why is he withholding that information?
Well, because he probably doesn't want to admit what he did.
Yeah.
And
we'll see. It's one of those two things. It's either a literal mental block or the experiments did something.
Yeah.
But the experiments AZ ruled out that they're physical. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Love that.
Back to this main plot, Fennec, Hunter, and Wrecker hit the bayou, where they are literally encountering crocodiles or gators. The boat they're using kind of looked like it runs off a small pod racer engine, huh?
Earth is cannon. Immediately, the combination of like the Southeast Asian river boat thing, again, like an Anthony Bourdain episode.
Sure.
Like I could just feel them all getting eaten alive by like 2-foot-long mosquitoes, you know? But then the fact that the paddle had like an on-off switch on it and it was a pod racing engine that was spinning and everything.
Right.
I was watching it in my brain. It was,
it's working.
It was just, man, the thought that goes into this stuff when someone around the writer's table goes, what if it's like a Vietnamese or like Thai boat river kind of vibe? Mm-hmm. You know, with a pilot steering it with a rudder, but we make it a pod racing engine. Like that, just what a fun job to be the guy that says that.
Old.
Dude, so was cool. Did you kind of see that there was like almost like a electronic activation that made it raise
off
the water?
Yes, dude, it gave me crate vibes. Those speeders.
Crate
that you had to kick the leg down, you know, to gain balance of the ship.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. And then just, I'm with you, Ryan. That was, it's awesome how they introduce new things that feel familiar, because in that way, it feels like the OT.
Where I know. And I've noticed online, like so much hate that is going on in the, and we're not going to like live on this or focus on this moment I'm about to say, but comes from prequel. It comes from there's a lot of prequel people that are like mm-hmm. not happy about the Disney thing, and it's like, we literally just got a pod racing engine in an episode. What? Come on.
I know it.
It's becoming hard to tell the difference between bots and neckbeards on in the comments at this point. They're one and the same, which is says everything.
Right.
But an interesting quote, getting back to this main plot, an interesting quote from Fennec said, "My client said you were safer with them," referring to Nala Se having hired her to get Omega in season two. I don't remember if she said that before or after this, but she did say, I mean, as I would assume bounty hunters do work for good guys and bad guys. You work for money. Whoever hires you, hires you.
Mm-hmm. It's DJ's quote in Last Jedi, right? Like,
He says a lot of good things.
Right. Look who it is, right? They're like, oh, look, it's this person's a big, you know, they're I think they were weapons or ships, right? They sold ships. And it was like, oh, look, they sell X-Wings. Oh, look, they sell TIE fighters too. Uh-huh. The war machine makes money. That's who they
live free,
for.
Don't join.
Yeah, that's right. and then what, Nick, why don't you go ahead and read this one? Because I think Fennec might have had the burn of this.
Oh my gosh. I didn't notice this last night because I was sleepy, but when I rewatched it today. They're talking and Hunter says it's not all about the money, and Fennec just straight up burns him by saying it's because you don't have any. But then there's a reaction from Hunter where he's just like,
boom. Bodied. Oh man, it was good. She was like, just like,
yeah, I don't.
She was right. Just annihilating him like the whole time. Was just like, you know, she's like, that's why I don't go in the water. Or like, they said something about like, oh, there's mines in the water. She's like, well, you better get in. I was just like, Fennec Shan.
Even all the way at the end of the episode when he's laying on the, like, the door of her ship.
Yeah.
And she just like starts putting it up and he like falls backwards. She's messing with him the whole episode. It was great.
Maybe she likes him.
That was the moment when she said they thought she was safer with you than with me. And they said, who said that? And she said, the client. And I just, you know, I mean, I know it's not, but I was just like, there's Werner Herzog in my brain right there.
All right. So do we get to, we get to speculate a little bit? Come on.
Let's just who is...
Adam's not here. Dad's not here. We can do whatever we want.
We're going to speculate. I'm going to do it. No parents, no rules.
Who is Fennec Shan's contact client in the Hollow at the end of the episode? I don't know. All there is noise. You know, it sounds like a calm chatter. I don't know if there,
there could be
a sound file in there somewhere.
Ryan, we need a theme. We need a theme cue right now.
I have to watch this... I didn't. Well, I could watch it up here, but at the time that I needed to watch the episode to get ready for the pod tonight, I couldn't be up here because it was bedtime for kiddo and I needed to be available. So I watched it downstairs. Well, I am very much in the camp of being disappointed with all of the Instagram stories or Instagram posts you see about the research showing that young people are now watching everything they watch with subtitles on. I'm just like, what is happening to humanity, you know? But I'm an old guy and that's just the way old guys are. But I had to watch it with subtitles on. So there you go. Guilty, you know, because it's got the volume. It's so low when Crosshair's talking. I mean, if you have it on baby volume, good luck.
Like, talks it's not, on baby volume.
It's very quiet. and so anyways, when at the end, the subtitles said indistinct chatter or something like that.
Yes.
When the client was talking.
Yeah.
It sounded like probe droidy, you know, like it was definitely
modulated. She clearly understood whatever was being said. But then it leaves you to wonder, was it a droid? Was it a coded message, you know, that a class one bounty hunter can decipher in real time, decode in real time? Who's the client? Is it the client? I mean, it's like...
So her quote earlier in the episode was, I haven't done one of those jobs myself, but I might know someone who has. So with that being said, and also referencing the original trailer, and we haven't seen Asajj Ventress yet, and she was a bounty hunter in the Clone Wars, is this where we get Asajj?
Well, I'm saying
you guys are all so much fun. I don't know why you let me come on this show anymore.
Here's the thing. Consider this. M count, we know, is the thing that gives all people the force. Of all the people that we've seen mentioned so far, Boba Fett, who else was there was someone else. Caleb. Cad Bane.
They turn on the trailer. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying, was it Cad Bane? Was it is it any of the other crew that
forgot Cad Bane was in the trailer?
Honestly, it was probably Toto 360. But M count is something that most Force users have. So that puts two people in play, in my opinion. Quinlan Vos and Asajj Ventress. And
they're
homies. They're the Dark Disciples. But the other thing is that if you listen to the theme, kind of sounds like Asajj Ventress.
There was a theme. I didn't hear the theme.
Yeah, it was. I think the internet is speculating that it's similar, but she has a similar theme to what played at the end there. So yep. I don't know. I guess we'll see. It makes sense. I mean, we know Asajj is coming back. Everyone wants to know how. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to know what's happening. But M count, I think it's got to be a Force user. That's kind of the nod to being like, oh, I wonder who it could be. Mm-hmm. Would not be mad if it was Boba Fett. Would not be mad if it was Cad Bane. Seems odd that they would. We have to know at some point where Cad Bane falls into this. Yeah. But he could equally be hired by the Empire to track down Omega because no one else has gotten to that point yet. So
I don't know. Hemlock could hire him, right?
100%. Mm-hmm. Another class one bounty hunter. So, you know.
And we're just trying to get to our bingo cards. If it's Quinlan, maybe there's a mention of the Hidden Path, you know, like we gotta get these bingo cards going. Come on.
I get it. So we'll see next week. Hopefully we get it. We don't have to stick around too long for that. I'm very excited about that. So, that's it. That was a good episode. We're very happy with it. There's a couple little details. Would you like me to hit the button?
Details are in the den.
Ooh.
Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Thousand generations.
It is the
Darksaber.
Torgon
Togosh.
It's a Kalikori.
A Sith Wayfinder.
Dark science. Cloning. Secrets only the Sith knew.
I would like to formally apologize for last week for getting everyone's that CX was Cody. Adam put this in the note and said we have to apologize to everybody. You know what? It was a good theory.
Redaction. What is it? What do you, when newspapers, there's a term for it.
Oh, redacted is where they just omit it.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, did we all? I think I was the only one who went to college for a little bit.
I did two semesters a year apart. I definitely wasn't a journalism major. So
that's right. So basically, the vibro knife, we can see that Wrecker still has his. It's the style of it is, I think, that original Clone Wars style with all the little dots on it. We can see that the CX is an updated version of that, so that kind of dismisses the whole Cody thing. Siler has one as well, one of these like glowing knives. So it's kind of like, all right, realistically, it was just a knife, and because he pulled it off the other clone, probably not Cody. Okay, but let's hold on to hope. Because we could speculate. really cool little detail, of course. We find another ST-45 Star Commuter 2000 shuttle, which flies by right over the unnamed Hourglass planet, which is actually, if you remember, all the way back to Droids in Distress, number 3 of Rebels, when they're going to steal those blasters and they're with 3PO and R2. It's nearly the same ship, a little bit different coloration, but it's missing a little glowing piece on the front, but it's the same shuttle. The bounty hunter Siler Saris's species is called the Yamri, also known as the Huck. It's a species in the Mos. I can't say Mos Eisley anymore.
Yeah,
is that ruined? It's totally ruined for everyone. Cool, that's nice. The Mos Eisley Cantina seen in A New Hope. The only other time the species is seen. So that was one of Rick Baker's best designs, where he just said, "All right, we have kind of a wolf guy, kind of a devil, praying mantis." So Shout out to Rick Baker for always killing
Starship
it.
Troopers.
I just remembered something when earlier in the episode when Fennec pulled up the hollow of him and he has claws.
Yeah,
but he was holding a gun.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, how do you? It looked like a toy holding a gun. He was like,
very cartoons odd are for gun. Kids, Nick. Cartoons are for kids.
It's a very odd gun. That's you know, in case, and it's nice because you could add butter to him, and he probably would taste better.
he was also able to sound out English words and names with that weird tentacly mouth. So,
hey kid, it's not that kind
and
of.
He was wearing a hat.
So the character can barely be seen behind Obi-Wan and Luke at the bar and was only ever referred to as Praying Mantis for obvious reasons. Imagine that. Fennec Shand refers to Siler. Ryan, we were eating good today on this episode as fans of Fallen Order because we got a nice little shout out right here. Fennec Shand refers to Siler as the Slayer of Ordo Arris.
Mm-hmm.
Ordo Arris was first seen in Jedi Fallen Order. It was the asteroid space station in the Outer Rim that served as the stronghold of the Haxian Brood Syndicate, which is those pretty rad bounty. I think they were like bounty hunters. The guys with the jetpacks that you fight in the arena. Mm-hmm. The Haxian Brood, they look amazing. They look super cool.
If you're not playing that arena scene on story mode where you can just like get through it and move on, that was hard.
It was hard. It was very hard. Yeah. I didn't realize that the game defaulted to hard mode as the main, like,
oh wow.
And then I went back and I was like, oh, this seems very difficult. And then I was like, oh, medium, easy. And then I hit story mode. I was like, what is this?
Well, story mode is the way to go because like the game is great, but I want to know what the canon story is.
The story is, yeah.
Is more than I want to be proud of myself because I solved the puzzle, you know?
Right. And then naturally the last part of the Den of Antiquities is, can we just love the fact that any scene is better with pit droids.
Yeah. We got one single pit droid.
No, there's two of them. Because they communicate and the other one hits the button to open the door.
Okay, we got two.
We got two pit droids. So I love that. I'd like to have someone 3D print me one. I'm assuming Rami Shanaday is listening to this. Rami, yes, I'm asking for one.
We know friends with those printers, so we're sure we can sort that out.
We do. Let's see. So I think bingo card results. Guys, we crushed it this week. Got nothing.
Mm-hmm. We got 100% nothing.
Except unless you count that we're still on track for no monster of the week.
Yeah. Hunter is alive.
I'm with that.
That was another one, right?
We're on track for some X's.
We're tracking.
True. So no bingo card results. We'd have to check in with Patreon. Nick, you're in the Discord. Did the patrons get anything?
Yeah, remember they said there was going to be a riverboat with a pod racing engine?
And we said, look, like a watercraft? They said, no, the word boat. They're going to say the word boat in Star Wars.
Right. You're like, they were like, we said Space Georgia. You're like, honestly, not swampy enough. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, not. More of a bayou.
Yeah, they got the one that was like Adam Sandler and Waterboy are showing up in an episode. And
yeah, exactly. Yep, mama said stay off the pod racers. All right, let's go. I love you. I know. I think we talk about that because there's stuff that we all want to talk about. I'm gonna hit the button.
I love you.
I know.
Who goes first? I go first. Who talks
you
first?
Go first?
Who talks first? You talk first.
My favorite, besides all the sick burns,
true.
Crosshair had a good moment with Omega where Crosshair just says, I'm not going to like it, am I? And she says, you don't like anything. And then he goes, true.
That's true.
Yeah. So that was my favorite little line.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was very, very pumped about the meditation scene. Sorry if I'm stealing that from you, Mike, because you kind of alluded to
it's
that
fine.
Earlier.
It's fine. It's great.
I've been streaming a lot more again on my Twitch channel, and I've started doing a thing where every day at the end of the stream, I like turn the lights down and have a little scene on my, you know, on my stream for meditating, and I meditate with chat for 10 minutes at the end of every stream. So it's meditation's been on and off. Again, a big part of my life for the last 4 or 5 years. I really started getting into it during the pandemic. I've seen huge results in my life from
practicing meditation. And so I was just really personally attached to how impactful that moment was for the two of them, especially when Omega says, just focus. She says, like, now just focus. And she starts meditating.
Yeah.
And Crosshair still isn't in, but he looks at her and he realizes, oh, okay, this is not a joke. Like, this is not, she's very serious about wanting me to be a part of this experience. And he turns and he closes his eyes. And then we get one of the most beautiful shots in all of Star Wars ever, I think. Yeah. I think that shot of the two of them sitting there with that sunset was breathtaking.
Yeah.
And dude, sorry, I love you. I know is not the place to speculate, but Dad's not here. So I'm going to do whatever I want.
Co-host.
They're fully doing the thing where they're setting up this bond between the two of them, and Crosshair is going down, dude. Crosshair is going down, and it is going to break Omega's heart.
The interesting
Fool me once,
kill my brothers twice. I think. I mean, I love you. I know, of course, I'm with you, Nick. There were some great burns this week. Fennec, I think Fennec is awesome. I love how spicy she is. I love how cocky she is. And I love how unmoved she is in regards to she is so calm and calculated. I'm like, for just the fact that she knows how to get into their scan, I think is amazing. And kind of like looks over at Hunter. And, you know, she's like, you're the tracker, right? And he's like, oh, okay. And then he looks over at Wrecker and she's like, and I thought you're good with ordnance. He's like, good, I'm the best, you know? Like, just like she knows, like, hey, if I ever want to trick him into doing something, just be like, hey, flex real quick. And he'd be like, wah! Which is honestly how I feel like I've been manipulated my whole life by women. So this actually tracks for me. It really does. But I think, Ryan, I'm with you on that. I think I thought a really rad moment at the end when you think about that, of them sitting at the sunset, was I had this moment of being like master and apprentice, and master and apprentice is not who you think it is, because Omega is absolutely the master.
The master.
Yeah. Yep. And Hunt and Crosshair is completely learning so many things from her, and that's really what I think this episode highlights and is the season is about. And I just thought, I mean, it makes sense why we didn't get the theme. I totally get it, but I was sitting there being like, damn, if this show doesn't do in parallel, dude, it's really well.
Like, if when it cut to that, it just went bum 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 ba-da-dum.
Omega, your M count, it's going crazy. Oh, that was great. So, Nick, I think we have patron favorite
sure
moments?
Sure do. So TK Ryan says, Crosshair gets upset and storms off. This is their favorite moment. And Batcher follows him like, oh, fun, another adventure, until the gate slams in his face. Yeah, very good. Darth Annihilus says, I'm really loving how Omega's ability to melt even the coldest heart is in its full glory in this episode. She is what we should all aspire to be. Very professional name here. Holden McGroin says,
Yes.
Great fight scenes in this episode.
Holden, welcome.
Against the Crocs and Siler, it really felt like Siler could have praying mantis style popped Hunter's head off while he was choking him. Also, the music at the start of the bar scene was really poppy. Music was cool in the in that cantina-ish thing. The Kyners,
they crash.
What style can't they do, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
What else do we have here? Stacey Leanne says, great episode. Omega was adorable as usual. Hunter will do anything for her. His full-on dad mode is my favorite thing about him, and this episode reminded me of that. Physics Buddy Joe says, another mention of how they all miss tech. The quote I said earlier, tech's brain was the data bank, not mine.
Well, I think we should also have Adam.
Oh, you do have Adam. Let's do Adam.
Dad is here, and
he's watching live, by the way, everyone. Yeah. So let's all say hi to Adam.
He's on the plane. He's enjoying the show. And somehow, Adam Russell returns. He did send over an I Love You, I Know. And in a reaction that we also could play if we want. But let's just go I Love You, I Know. Here we go.
My favorite part of this episode was the moments with Omega and Crosshair, specifically the meditation scene. it reminded me of Luke on Octo. Even the view, you know, you see the sunset. It was a really similar shot there on a rock. You know, there's a sunset. It's kind of a beautiful scene and a great emotional connection there. Omega puts her hand on Crosshair's hand. It's just really awesome. But my favorite part was a funny part. And it's right away, the first shot as they kind of push into them sitting there on the rock with Batcher to Omega's right. They're meditating. They're like trying to do a legitimate mindfulness exercise that Omega learned from Gunji on Kashyyyk. They got their eyes closed. They're focusing. And Batcher is just straight up snoring, just sleeping. And it's just like such a dog thing. It's just, it's amazing. I love Batcher. I love that there's a dog in Star Wars, like we talked about recently. And it reminded me a little bit of one of the opening scenes in Dune 2, where they have their ears on the sand and they're listening for vibrations. And Paul is sleeping. We think he's sleeping. What's her name thinks he's sleeping. Whether or not he was, it just reminded me of that. So I love Dune. Did I mention Ryan likes Dune? We all like Dune. Nick, not as much. But yeah, Omega and Crosshair. It's great. They have another great connection like she's had with characters in the past, one of which is dead. It's a bummer. So in advance, I will say rest in peace, Crosshair. They're just teeing it up.
Wow, that guy was pretty good. He should be on our podcast.
Yeah. Johnny. Wow.
whatever her name was. His mom.
I want to go see that movie again right now.
Thatcher being a dog is great.
Yeah, that's true.
Straight up dog.
They could have taken it up a notch, you know, and had him just like fully just doing dog, you know, just like leg up,
just cleaning
and down in the grundle, you know? Yeah. That would have been great. Absolutely. That would have been great.
Like drop a toy near them while they're doing it. Like, hey, you want to play?
Nice. that's awesome. I think that's it for this episode. We have absolutely, we've been eating good. Great episode of Bad Batch. We get a new trailer. I feel like can we also say there's already toys out? Like they announced toys.
The Acolyte.
We got a teaser poster with blood on it.
Yeah.
That was sick. I mean, that was very sick.
Also, we didn't mention at the top of the show, but a brand new Roosevelt Dark Side drop featuring my favorite one that I cannot wait to get my hands on, that Night Trooper and Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
Full kit, shirt
just
and shorts.
Just one little Thrawn popped up in there. Yeah.
So right good. Right so good.
Nick, actually, speaking of Class 1 bounty hunters, show off your shirt real quick. Because
you see, this is just a black and white version of
the full color version, which also comes in the tuxedo, which I'm very excited to wear around Galaxy's Edge with you. And I told John from Roosevelt's, I said, really nice shout out using the special edition Boba Fett on a Empire Strikes Back Hunter set. And he laughed and said, I'm not going to hire you. So, So we're good. Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. This was a great week for Star Wars. I have a feeling we are only going to just go upwards and onwards from here. It is just straight up hype. Until the Acolyte,
and this is how it should be. The Bad Batch ends, and the Acolyte starts within a month. That's how it should be. We should have one.
Did you guys talk about, or did we talk about the Rogue Squadron news at all?
Not really.
Is that confirmed? Is this a rumor, or is this one of those things where like someone said it and people ran with it?
Hollywood Reporter, Patty Jenkins says she's back on Star Wars movie Rogue Squadron.
Okay.
Hollywood Reporter.
That works for me. So what is that? That's a contract obligation. That is a that's an exciting thing. How do we feel about that? What is that? Are we excited for are we getting a Rogue Squadron movie?
Her quotes are, when I left Star Wars to do Wonder Woman 3 and I started working on that, we talked about, well, maybe I'll come back to Star Wars after Wonder Woman 3. She's talking to Talking Pictures podcast right now.
Okay.
So we started a deal for that to happen. So when Wonder Woman 3 went away, Lucasfilm and I were like, oh, we've got to finish this deal. We finished the deal right as the strike was beginning. So I now owe a draft of Star Wars. So we will see what happens there. Who knows? They have a hard job in front of them of what's the first movie since the sequel trilogy that they're going to do. They have other directors who have been working, but I am now back on doing Rogue Squadron. We'll see what happens. We need to get it to where we're both super happy with it.
Wow. Okay.
So whether it's getting made into a movie, she is writing this. She's actively working on writing the draft of the script. I mean, that's from her mouth.
You know that the bots and the neckbeards already have their drafts ready to hate.
Right.
They're just
They've saved their comments for the announce of the film.
Yeah.
Right, right, which makes sense. Okay, yeah. The whole thing is for EU fans, right? You're gonna sit here and look at all these X-Wing books that I have back here, and people are already upset, you know. And the books are not going anywhere. You can always just reread them and be angry with each other. For me, I would like to see an X-Wing movie immediately. So, yes. Patty Jenkins.
Tomorrow, I'm going to pay for the plane tickets for us all to be in the same place to go see that movie tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Those plane tickets would be expensive because I'd be buying them right now for you to be here tomorrow.
That's true. Okay? That's true. We go see it twice. So, it would be that's a lot of popcorn.
But yeah, hate it. Just hate it.
Imagine hating the thing.
It's
going to
be so amazing, dude. It's going to be so amazing. It's going to be so amazing. Like thinking of the equivalent of like a Top Gun aircraft carrier, but just X-Wings just like, you know, hauling ass out of a base, just one after the other for a mission. I can't wait.
Right. And then let's go back to one of my favorite scenes of Force Awakens, of the X-Wings flying across the water with everything. I'm like, just give it to me. Give it to me right there. So that's it. We have a lot of news. We're excited. More stuff's going to come over. I'm with you, Nick. Like, this is where it goes from Star Wars is like we're turning it back on. We're going to start getting more news. We're going to get more news about Mandalorian and Grogu starting to film. It's very exciting time. We have some announcements. Oh, Ryan, you're about to go. When does tour start? Because all you guys are like leaving for tour and announcing tour. When does tour start?
I'm leaving soon. You know that much.
I'm not gone until June 1st. So I am home for a while. I'm going to California next month with the band for something that I cannot tell anyone about. Yes.
Okay.
For I don't know, 2 weeks, I guess. And then home all of May, and then we leave for tour June 1st.
Okay, so you just did a thing with Steve Aoki. How is he?
He is the best, honestly. Yeah. Just what an amazing dude. So if you're listening to the podcast now, Steve Aoki remixed Ocean Avenue last year. It came out in December. He did like a 20-year anniversary remix. Very wild crossover, you know, just taking a rock and roll song and going full-blown EDM remix. But I know that Steve's been playing the song in his set all over the world and having a lot of fun with it. Like people are really, really pumped when it happened at that moment of the show. And so this past weekend, I got to go to Atlanta. He performed at a club called District in Atlanta. And just got to spend the weekend with Steve and his crew. It was really fun and making content with them and stuff. And then just surprised everyone. And I popped up on stage and sang Ocean Avenue, the remixed version with Steve live at the club. It was really fun. So
is he an emo dude at heart or where is
he? Yeah. We were both talking about our vocal cord surgery. He also had vocal cords. He was, he sang, forgive me, Steve, for not knowing the name of the band, but he sang in like to quote his words, a full-blown like screamo band.
Okay.
Before he started getting into EDM heavily. And he used to host like living room punk shows at his house in Santa Barbara. It's a great dude. And yeah, there may be more of these fun me popping up in random locations as a surprise, singing Ocean Avenue with Steve Aoki. So, very fun.
All right. Thank the maker, a yellow card Steve Aoki podcast. He's awesome. I met him back, I think, when was that? College tour he did with Kendall Kumar, and my buddy was running it. And I've never seen a guy be so accurate with a giant sheet cake every single night. Incredible. It's incredible. So the guy's good. like vocal cords shredded, but like, dude, that tenant that, Hitler's elbow, man. Like,
yeah, he's got it. He can really, really nail a cake throw.
Yeah. These are skills when you think of when you grow up, those are some of the skills that you do need. My opinion, and I'm not great at it. So I know that's what I'll probably do after I leave the podcast. Nick, tour is happening. It's coming.
I leave for rehearsal March 31st. First show is April 3rd in Pittsburgh. And okay. We had our first show of the tour sell out in San Diego. Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing the damn thing. Finch, okay. Armor for Sleep, and Wynonna Fighter.
Amazing. And,
okay. It's kind of crazy.
Because we are streaming this out to the YouTubes, I just want everyone to see. I got a shot. This is like one.
That focus one, going. What am I looking at?
Come on.
One. There we go.
Before the cake.
You got caked.
Perfectly thrown, just full.
God, just Steve.
Covered in cake. Yeah.
We need him on the Tigers, man. This is crazy. No, that's awesome. I'm very excited. I think the plan is maybe to come down to C2E2 and hang with our Roosevelt.
Yeah.
A bunch of our friends there and maybe come see the show the following. If you're going to C2E2 and you're listening to this podcast, please stick around for Nick's show.
I'll be there Sunday, and then we play Monday in Chicago.
At House of Blues, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I'm flying from Denver that Sunday morning to C2E2 in Chicago, hang out with the Roosevelt's crew and have a nice little Sunday night in Chicago. And then we play Monday at the House of Blues.
Okay, I love everything about that. And I just wrapped a couple things for Story of the Year, who just announced, I think today or yesterday, that they have a couple dates with the Used this summer. And then there's a couple other things that I don't think I'm at liberty to talk about, but I help them make more stuff for them. So exciting times. I love supporting you guys. I love all your bands. You guys are the coolest. I'm glad we got to do a Star Wars podcast. Anything else? We good? I think that's it.
I smell so bad because I worked out today and I did not shower. I smell so bad. So I cannot wait to shower.
Yeah, I can
stay fit
here. Okay. All right. Well, I think the sign off is Nick, do us the honors.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Okay. I think we botched it. So why don't we just say so long, good night, and may the force be with you.
If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.